Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 9th of June 2019. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week was Pentecost, and Paul spoke on Pentecost Sunday, and who is the Holy Spirit? The reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. We'll hear the reading, and then Paul will start the sermon. I'm sorry that the start of the reading's a bit quiet, one of the microphones was turned down a bit, but I've done what I can. So, on with the reading and then the sermon.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Thanks be to God.
It's an awesome passage. In reality, friends, so much of our public life, you and I can sit and say, well, what can we do? As I read that scripture, as I understand it, God says, actually, let me have control, well, not of you, but let me fill you, scripture says, with the Holy Spirit. And as you and I are filled, as this church is filled, then frankly, friends, we can speak to the nation and the nation can be changed. See, here's the deal. Bless you for calling me and Lorraine to Minehead. Our friends who've come from Upton will probably say thank you. But the reality is, bless you for calling us here. God wants us here. And that's really good. But God hasn't finished with us yet. And the reality is, God can use you and me, filled with the Holy Spirit, not just to win Minehead, but to be salt and light to this nation. And we're not the world. See, God's vision is big, ours small. And Peter, I suspect, when he stood up on that first Pentecost Sunday, was thinking, Lord, if you just give me 12 people, how awesome would that be? I wonder if, don't think he was expecting 3,000. But nonetheless, if next week we came and there were an additional 3,000 people here, we'd cope, wouldn't we? Anyone not want that? Hallelujah. In reality, Peter was blessed with God's Holy Spirit, and that spirit gave him the words to speak and moved. And Acts 2 says, when the day of Pentecost came, this happened. And today is Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. But what is Pentecost? We recognize it, we understand it even, as the day God sent his Holy Spirit. The day that the prophecy mentioned in the passage from Acts becomes fulfilled. But that still leaves two important questions, doesn't it? Why now? And why is this so significant that the writer of Acts mentions the festival? And quite literally, who on earth is the Holy Spirit? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll continue that for the next couple of weeks. But before that, we looked at the fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember the fruits? We won't do the test and say, can you repeat them? But actually, that sense that God has, which is that he expects us to produce spiritual fruit and gifts us to enable us to do it. And it's been a blessing for me in this last week or two to hear some prophecy, to have prophetic words spoken, to hear of people who have been healed. Did you know that's happened in this church? Well, it has. Some of some ailments that have been long suffering. To hear worship expressed in new tongues. To hear prophetic word given in tongues and interpretation given as well. That's all amazing, friends, but I hope I can blow your mind by saying that's just the tip of what the Holy Spirit really wants to do among us. If you think you've been blessed already, hallelujah, because we can say you ain't seen nothing yet. Because you haven't. And then neither have I. And someone said to me this week, Paul, where's it all going to end? I don't know. That's some brilliant news for the pastor this morning. I don't have to make up a strategy or a plan because I simply don't know. Neither did Peter, incidentally, did he? But he just let God be God. And look what happened. When we're prepared to open ourselves up to the reality of who the Spirit is, and what he can do among us. Wow. That's just amazing. But if that's true, the question is, well, okay, if the Holy Spirit wants to do amazing things among us, how do we let him? I would suggest, friends, Scripture gives us answers. We need to ground everything in the reality of who the Holy Spirit is, part of the Godhead who loves. Ground what happens here in the person that he is, the promises that he fulfills and the power he brings. So why did God choose Pentecost to send the Holy Spirit? Why now? Why not 49 days ago or 49 days in the future? Why Pentecost? Well, you need to understand a little bit about the Jewish calendar. According to Leviticus 23:15-16, Pentecost is 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover week. And it is thus the first day of the week. Got that? Your mathematicians will go 49. 49 days means it's even weeks. 50 days means 7 weeks plus a day. Anyway, you got that? Good. And it's the first day of the week, therefore, and it's the day of the week that Jesus rose from the grave. So Jesus rising from the grave and the Holy Spirit sending happened on the same day. And the same day of the week is also called, this Pentecost Sunday is also called, according to Deuteronomy 16, verse 10, the festival of the weeks. And according to Exodus 23, 16, the festival of harvest, or we would say harvest festival. Incidentally, because it was a bit later on in the year, it was much more easy for the Jews of the time to travel. And so many more of them potentially would have been in and around the major festival sites of Jerusalem. And those of you that do festivals nowadays, yes, they would have camped. The reality is, if it's a harvest festival, what do we do on harvest festival? Thank God for his gifts, don't we? Actually, as they thank God for his provision, God gave them even greater provision in the Holy Spirit. It's also called Numbers 28, 26, the day of the first fruits. And according to tradition, this is the day that God gave Moses the law. It's an important day in Jewish heritage, Jewish tradition. So why Pentecost? Friends, can I suggest God makes a statement? Because this day, Pentecost, will come to fulfill and come to signify the day that God fulfills his promise. A promise given in the law and prophets. And the Spirit among us signifies that God will fulfill among us all that he has promised. Here's the deal. I'm not suggesting anyone will do this, and I'm certainly not suggesting it's prophecy. But if someone stood up and said, God's told me that what we need to do is to hire Butlins next Sunday for the mass 3,500 people he'll bring, I'm sure Butlins would be amazed. But if that's what the person got up and said, and we all went, amen, there is the Spirit, guess what we must go and do? We must follow the Spirit. So if Pentecost is the right timing, then who on earth is the Holy Spirit? For a long time, I would suggest, throughout centuries as well, the work of the Holy Spirit in many churches has been ignored. Ignored because we've concentrated on the Father and the Son, brought to the fore once a year. And I do apologise because, there you go, I should have put that lot up as I went. Brought to the fore each year. Maybe one Sunday a year we think about the Holy Spirit. Maybe on Pentecost Sunday. And then, if we can only water down the reality of who he is, that sort of sits better with us. Ignoring the Holy Spirit has a problem. And the best way I can describe the problem is to give you an example. Here's my graphics. Okay, we have a triune God. Now imagine a tripod with three legs, and you're going to extend the legs of the tripod. You got the image? We want to extend those legs. But you favour two legs over the third. And so what you do is you extend two of the legs more than you extend the third. The mathematicians amongst you, the engineers, will be able to tell me what will happen. You start to unbalance the tripod. And frankly, what happens if you go further and further and further, it's what happens to the tripod, engineers. It falls over. We need to remind ourselves that if we don't pay attention to all three bits of this, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we're unbalanced people. Now, you look to me like quite a balanced lot. No one said, Paul, you look as balanced to me, but bless you for that. The reality is we need to stand secure, we need to remind ourselves we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We must be paying attention to all three. And the sad thing is, the Holy Spirit, if we ignore that very person of the triune God, is the one that can kind of really help with our lives at times, individually and as a church, to enable us to stand firm and secure in our faith. And just in case you think that's me making that up, let me remind you that it's not me that promises you or this church the Holy Spirit, is it? It is Jesus himself. He promised this. And he says this, John 14, 25 and 26, Jesus' own words. All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Wow, hold on, Lord. Through the Spirit, you teach me and you remind me. It was an amazing thing to hear the lady's testimony at Spring Harvest. Some of you may have been there. The lady that had been in prison in Iraq. Do you remember? Those of you that were there. Do you remember what she said? I loved it. I thought, that is the Spirit at work. She said she went into this dark cell. She didn't have a Bible. And she found a piece of chalk. She smuggled one back in. This sort of, I'm not sure it was a pencil or a piece of chalk back in. And she started to write on the wall scripture as the Spirit reminded her. When she came out, she discovered she'd written some scripture she was convinced she'd not even read. Can you see the Holy Spirit reminding her of who God is, who her Savior is? I love that. Because guess what? Those of you that have asked me about scripture will know what I'm like. I go, it's in Kings somewhere. You have that thinking as well? In reality, we gather in worship, the worship of our Lord, don't we? We regularly promise to remember him. But if we're not careful, we regularly forget the part the Holy Spirit plays in reminding us of who Jesus is and what he says. And the church throughout the ages has misunderstood who the Holy Spirit actually is. We have made the Holy Spirit an it, rather than understanding that he is part of triune God. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. And there's a reason. And if I have to head for the doors after this, I will. But I suspect it's true of many of us. You see, the moment we recognize the he-ness, and I know that's not in the dictionary, the he-ness of the Holy Spirit, the moment we make it personal, we must recognize how personal God is as well. And the truth of that is that God loves you. Did you know that this morning? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning, let me tell you, you are here for one very simple reason, and it's this: God loves you. So much that he sent his son to die for you. And if you don't know that as certainty and fact this morning, come and find me after the service. And the reality is, this man, this gentle spirit, gentle man of God, wants to be involved with you. He wants, longs for you to love the Lord because he loves you. Wants to restore a relationship with you that God once had before we let sin into our life. And God, the Spirit, God, the Father, and God, the Son, they're into business. Did you know that? I think there could be a banner over the church, actually. It doesn't say Baptist Church. I love this. That said, God and Son's headquarters. What a banner that would be. But it makes a statement. You see, the truth is, God loves you. He wants to be involved with you. He longs to be involved with you. He wants to restore your relationships with him. That tells me that my Father is in the restoration business. And moreover, you're all signed up to the family firm. We're all in the restoration business, God's restoration business. Hallelujah.
I'm not sure about that. Hallelujah.
In reality, that's true. And all the while, we've made this person impersonal. Bluntly, because we've tried to resist the relationship, preferring to think of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost or an it, means that we never ever have to deal with the reality that God is personally involved with us. And the Holy Ghost strikes, doesn't it, of some sort of new ageism that's kind of out there, means that we can choose, pick and choose, whether or not we ignore the Holy Spirit. We've become used to an attitude of, we're okay, thank you very much. We don't want this Spirit personally involved and upset in the apple cart. Here is where I head for the door. Because that attitude, friends, serves our purposes. Today's an invitation to say, I will let God, through His Spirit, reign here. And I'll start by letting Him reign in my life. An awesome, unbelievable invitation. Because God wants to be involved with the whole of you. Do you know that? I have a friend. She's an older... If I can say she's a lady of a certain age... Okay, I won't tell you who, you'd know. A lady of a certain age. And I was once with her. We were having a cup of tea and the podiatrist arrived. Now, for those of you like me that were naive, a podiatrist is someone that cuts toenails, correct? Right. And she went, oh, I don't want you to see my toenails. I asked her why. And she said, they don't look very good. Anyway, the podiatrist said, I'll only be 5 minutes. So she relented. And I waited in the kitchen, being the gentleman that I was. After about 5 minutes, she summoned me. But she didn't say, she went, Paul, come in here. And I thought, what's happening? I ran into the room and there she was with the podiatrist cutting her big toenail, looking at her toes. She said, look, it's infected. And I wondered, and she said to me, actually, after the podiatrist had left, I asked her why. I said, why didn't you call me? And she said, because it suddenly struck me when I was looking at this infected big toe that God loves all of me, including my infected big toe. And so she called the pastor to let him know that God loves all of him. Praise God for her. But what an amazing expression. See, the truth is, she didn't want to keep those grubby bits hidden from her Lord anymore. She wanted to say, He is my Lord and Lord of all. What about you this morning? Do you have bits you want to keep hidden? Because the reality is, friends, the Holy Spirit has come, according to Jesus himself in John 14, as a helper. Not to destroy our lives, but to help us fulfill our lives individually, collectively. Not there in order to engage with just the clean bits, but with the whole of us. For some of us, and I include me in this, there are some fairly unclean bits. But the Holy Spirit engages with the whole of us. Not come to destroy, but to build up. And Scripture helps us to prove it. So here we go. The Holy Spirit was involved in creation, according to Genesis 1:1-2, to bring order out of chaos. Does your life feel chaotic sometimes? The Holy Spirit brings order. Or, if we read Genesis 2:7, in giving life to humanity, sometimes many of us can kind of feel a bit dead. Well, let's invite the Holy Spirit to breathe new life into those dead situations. The reason, in my opinion, we stop and think about this third person of the Trinity, stop thinking, rather, about this third person of the Trinity so much, is that we want to resist what the Spirit wants to bring. Even the fact we call the Spirit the third of three tells you something sometimes about the priority we place on God's Spirit in our lives. Yet I believe the Spirit has not come to tear down mine and your life, but to build us up. Come to make us complete, to bring new life. I think the Spirit's awesome, magnificent, wonderful. And throughout Jewish history in the Old Testament times, the Spirit was at work in particular individuals at particular times. Gideon for leadership, Samson for strength, Bezalel for artistic work, Isaiah for prophecy. Yet on those same individuals, at some times. The Holy Spirit was promised by the Father in the Old Testament as well. These are some scriptural readings, there are loads. These are just a few I've picked out about that. Jeremiah 31:31-34 says, they will know me, referring to God as Spirit. Ezekiel 26:26-27 says, I will put my Spirit on you. A prophecy of that day of Pentecost. That wonderful image of Ezekiel 47 of the river flowing out from the temple. Do you know, here's the deal. Think of that river now in terms of the Spirit. How many of us are paddling in the spiritual waters that flow from the temple? And most famously, of course, one that gets read, Joel 2:28 says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Incidentally, it does not say, I will pour out my Spirit on everyone except, insert your own name here. But I will pour out my Spirit on all. And then the prophecies remained unfulfilled and Jesus came. And everything changes. Do you think that's true? I know that's true. When Jesus comes, everything changes, doesn't it? We can see Jesus in great activity in the work of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 15. In Mary in Luke 1:41, in Elizabeth in Luke 1:67, in Simeon in Luke 2:25-27. And friends, that's just the first two chapters of Luke. God pours out his Spirit through Jesus Christ time and time and time again. And if we go to the next chapter of Luke, we can see that John the Baptist links the Holy Spirit with Jesus. Greek studies weren't my thing, you know that already. Okay, but the Greek word that's used here is baptizo. How about that? From which we get the word? Baptism, yeah. Baptismo. Do you know what it means? I had to look up a good Greek commentary on scripture to find this out, okay? This is what it means. Do you think baptism means, this word baptismo means sort of to be doused with water? This is what it means. To be overwhelmed, to be immersed, to be plunged, to be drenched. And Luke 3:22 says that Jesus received power through the anointing of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He was literally drenched in the Holy Spirit. What about you? Do you want to be drenched this morning? You're happy to be drenched? Friends, to be baptized in the Spirit means to get wet, to get drenched. Now, if all of a sudden, Cyril, wherever he is, if all of a sudden, bless you, Cyril, if all of a sudden the waters flow through this roof and we're all physically drenched, we'd go, wow. Maybe some of us would think, where's the leak? But the reality is, that is spiritually what God wants to do to you this morning. He wants to drench you. Do you want to be drenched? Because some of us metaphorically do this. It's raining. Put the umbrella up. And we do that literally when it's raining. Can I suggest that if you actually go out and it's physically raining, you do that, just to let you know. But spiritually, you take your umbrella down. Because the first spatterings on our cheeks of this Holy Spirit power stuff, some of our instant reaction is to go, put the brolly up. Thank you very much. And we stand there and we think that not getting wet means we're safe. We're secure. God won't bother sorting us out. It's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie that's brought on by fear. And 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out all fear. And incidentally, if Jesus is drenched, where is he? Is he standing there with the brolly up? No, he's getting drenched. He invites you to be where he is. For the safe place, friends, is not under your umbrella. It is where Jesus is. Please, if this morning that little metaphor talks to you, can I invite you to put the brolly down? Or if you've not put it up yet, can I invite you to leave it where it is? Because I love this morning you all to feel the wonderful, refreshing rain of the Spirit. That happened to me once, just to let you know. I was at college, and this very, 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 very serious lady, I mean, she was stern. She scared me, literally, was praying. And I sat there quiet as a church mouse, thinking, I daren't rustle the page of the Bible. Because she had those eyes that looked in you, you know. And I'm turning the... Oh, no, I can't do that, Lord. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, Lord, what are you doing with me? And he went, hold on a minute. Bang. And it was as if God's Spirit, all of a sudden... And she invited people in to pray. So I stood up, and I prayed in tongues. And I saw this lady's mouth go from this... to this. And this stern lady turned around and said, I know what God's been saying. And then the Spirit had his way. Interestingly enough, just to let you know, I've never confessed this to Lorraine. That was the one lecture I was late for. Because the prayer time just kept going. And as it happens, I did confess to the tutor who went, stay, brother. See, the truth is, when God has his way among us, he looses. And I love that. And I thought getting wet was a problem, an issue would actually be difficult, would be a strain. But when I put my umbrella down, even with the sternest lady, whom I wasn't listening to, when I responded to God, God had his way. That's what I'm inviting you to do this morning. Put your umbrella down. The safe place is getting drenched. Safe is not where we are, but where he is. Safe is not us relying on us, but us relying on him. Safe is not us keeping control, but letting the Spirit of God into our lives, letting him complete us and have control. And you heard that in the reading this morning, in the reality of it. Acts 2:38 says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that word baptizo is the same word in Greek here. We could as easily read, repent and be drenched in the Spirit, and you will receive God's amazing gift. It's a gift given to you and me, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit as a reality of the fact that he wants to do amazing things here. I, friends, for my part, over these last few weeks, I promise you, have tried to shake off, no matter what happens, that God wants to do something awesome here. And I got to tell you, I cannot shake it off. God, by his Spirit, will have his way among us, no matter what. And that, friends, means we are going to get drenched. Hallelujah. Bless you. The only question is, are you going to let him? Are you prepared this morning to put down the brolly, to stand and get wet with me in our Lord? Incidentally, bless you for the image, Cyril, but it won't come through the ceiling, I am sure. Are you prepared, dear church, to do that? Or do you want to stay stuck where you are? Your choice, under God this morning. Because as we celebrate in worship, I'm going to invite Roy and the group to come back. As we celebrate in worship, I simply invite you to let go of your brolly. Let the rain fall. Let it soak you. Because here's another analogy with the brolly. The Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit is coming. Have you ever tried to hold a brolly up in the wind? It takes effort, doesn't it? The reality is Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, says to you, make the effort about following me. Not about staying where you are and keeping yourself dry. Put down the brolly. Come, get wet. Friends, we're going to end in some prayer. and I invite you to pray this, but only if you mean it. Lord, this morning, I wholeheartedly trust you. I acknowledge you, acknowledge the reality of your Holy Spirit. I repent, Lord, of all the sins that stop me being close to you. I confess them in my heart to you now. I give them to you as my offering, my worship of you. And as I do so, Lord, I acknowledge and accept and receive the drenching of the Holy Spirit, top to tail. Acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge that He is the one that will help me remember Jesus in my life and in the life of this church. That He wishes to move powerfully in me and through me and with me. And that as church together, He will have His way here. We bring our prayers to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to invite you as a group to respond to that. We're going to sing a song, All to Jesus, I Surrender. I invite you where you are to make this a prayer. And that means, incidentally, just to let you know, prayer doesn't mean you have to sit. You can stand. You can kneel in the aisles if you wish. You can lay. You can come forward for prayer. How revolutionary would that be? Frankly, if all we do between now and whenever coffee serves is pray, how good would that be? How cool and awesome. Do what the Lord requires of you, but do take this opportunity of getting soaked. And as we sing this song, there'll be two or three different ways that we can help you do that. All to Jesus, I surrender. On behalf of this church, I kneel at your cross, acknowledge the reality of the awesome gift and price paid. And Lord, we surrender all. All that we have and we are yours, Lord. I pray for my friends that at this moment, Lord, you would drench us with your Spirit. Come. You are welcome here. Lord, fill us, baptize us, we pray, with the grace of God and the awesome Holy Spirit. Amen. As we have given, Lord, so we receive. Yes. In Jesus' name.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.